Broadcasting live from Camelback Ranch, spring training home of the Dodgers.
This team has the chemistry to win the World Championship.
This is Dodger Talk.
Got a good lineup.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MARK.
Same day cash, 7 days a week.
866-987-2578.
The exclusive home of the Dodgers.
Here's your host, David Vassay.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vassay with you until 8 o'clock tonight. A great hour with Petros and Money and the Clippers head coach, Doc Rivers. Love Doc using the baseball analogies. Doc's a big baseball fan, yeah. I've talked to him all the way back from when he was broadcasting for TNT. He was a great guy to talk to at the forum and the media lounge and all that. So Doc's a great guy, a big baseball fan, and using the analogy when Matt asked him about DeAndre Jordan's lack of free throw shooting, he said it's kind of mental, like Steve Sachs and Chuck Knobloch when they had the yips at second base. So it's nice to hear Doc use a baseball reference. And there's actually a Dodger connection to Doc Rivers. Yeah. Did you know that Dodgers CEO Stan Kasten was the GM of the Atlanta Hawks when Doc Rivers was the point guard for Atlanta back in the 80s? And yeah, Stan Kasten was around when John Konkak got that big deal and Mike Fratello was the coach and Dominique Wilkins and Spud Webb were the highlight films in Atlanta. So that's the connection between Doc Rivers and the Dodgers. President, CEO Stan Kasten was the GM of the Hawks when Doc was playing for them back in Atlanta. So there it is. There's your, I guess, Dodger Talk fun fact for the night. Phone lines are open, 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in the show tonight, you'll hear from former Dodger GM and current analyst for Sportsnet LA and my new co-host on Dodger Talk, Ned Coletti. He'll join us in the next segment. And coming up at the bottom of the hour to dissect not only the Dodgers but the rest of the National League will be MLB Network analyst Billy Ripken. And yes, one of my all-time dreams as a kid was to own that 1988 Fleer of Billy Ripken with that baseball bat with some nasty things written on the knob of that baseball bat. It was always too expensive for me. I never had the money to get that baseball card, but a few years ago, my wife, for our anniversary, bought me that card, and now I have that Billy Ripken 88 Fleer, where he has that F face on the knob of that baseball bat. As a kid, that was a highlight. When you see that as a kid, you say, like, wow, a cuss word on a baseball bat. Wow, wow. And that really blows your mind. So I finally have it. I probably will not bring that up because I've heard in the past that he's not too happy about that baseball card, and I don't want Billy Ripken to go crazy on me. So first interview with Billy Ripken, I won't bring up that baseball card, but maybe our second one I'll approach that subject. So those are our guests for tonight, and want to give you an idea of what's to come here for the Dodgers before opening day next Monday, which will be at Dodger Stadium against the San Diego Padres. Kershaw versus Julius Chacin, and first pitch is at 1:05, but we will have pregame coverage beginning at 9 a.m. with Petros and Money, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Pete leading up to the network pregame at 12 o'clock with Kershaw on the mound. A big day always when he's pitching, but more importantly, a bigger day on opening day. And the Dodgers always have something cool in store as far as pregame ceremonies go to really honor the tradition of the ball club. So I'm interested to see how that plays out leading up to Kershaw taking the mound. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Before opening day next Monday, the Dodgers still have one more spring training game tomorrow against the Mariners, and you can actually see that on MLB Network. Then after their final game in Arizona tomorrow, they come back to start the exhibition freeway series. Two games will be in Anaheim, the first two in Anaheim on Thursday night and Friday night. Maeda will start Thursday night. Rich Hill will start Friday night. And the final game of the freeway series will be on Saturday night at Dodger Stadium. It will likely be Ryu or McCarthy starting that game, which begins at 6 o'clock. First pitch at 6:10, and we will have pregame an hour before first pitch throughout the entire exhibition freeway series. So there you go. You're all caught up on the Dodgers schedule leading up to Monday's opening day. Want to let you know what happened today, too, for the Dodgers. They had a split squad game, and they lost to the Reds in Goodyear 9-3. But the big story there was that first-round draft pick in 2015, Walker Buehler, made his Cactus League debut, and I had reported a couple of weeks ago that there was a very good chance before the Dodgers broke camp that Walker Buehler would make an appearance in a Cactus League game. He did today in the seventh inning. Nerves were definitely in play because he walked Joey Votto, then gave up a two-run home run, and then settled down. He only gave up one more earned run after that, struck out two, and I guess the story goes that after that two-run home run, Chase Utley, who was playing second base, goes to the mound to try to settle the young Vanderbilt star and puts out his hand to shake his hand and introduce himself to try to calm him down. And after the game, Chase, in only Utley fashion, pretended like he had no clue what the reporters were talking about when they asked him about that. Also, too, the other big news out of that game is that Cody Bellinger hit his first home run of the spring since the first week of spring training. So a little rough spring training for Cody Bellinger at the plate. So he definitely needs some more seasoning in AAA in Oklahoma City, and he'll be in great hands with Bill Hasselman there in OKC. The other part of the split squad was heard right here on AM 570 LA Sports with Rick Monday and Jerry Hairston Jr. The Dodgers beat the Padres 3-1. Julio Urias started the game, and he pitched 2 2/3 scoreless innings. It's Chris Hatcher, big news there, who may or may not be part of the Dodger bullpen, pitched 2 scoreless innings. Grant Dayton pitched a scoreless innings, and Bobby Wilson hit a two-run home run, and he's had a pretty decent spring at the plate, hitting .275, has 3 or 4 home runs, and has had quality at-bats even when he doesn't get the results, and not to mention, too, what he means defensively for the Dodgers as a veteran backup catcher. So maybe there's a little bit more competition for the backup catcher than we initially thought at the beginning of spring between Austin Barnes and Bobby Wilson. Austin still trying to grow into the position, and he did not have a very good spring at the plate, hitting only .194. So it'll be interesting to see which direction the Dodgers go as far as who will be the backup for Yasmani Grandal. We're going to take a quick timeout here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, we'll get to Yasiel Puig and his spring training and where that leaves him for the Dodgers opening day roster and maybe the first month of the season. Also, we'll hear from former GM Ned Coletti. So stay where you are. There's much more Nissan Dodger Talk next on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight on AM 570 LA Sports. Just 6 days away from opening day and 6 days away from Clayton Kershaw's seventh consecutive opening day start for the Dodgers, tying a franchise record that's held by now Kershaw when he takes the mound Monday, and Don Sutton, who is a man that holds a lot of Dodger pitching records. And also, too, Kershaw ties Don Drysdale for the most overall opening day starts with 7 as well. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in just a moment, you'll hear from former Dodger GM Ned Coletti. And at the bottom of the hour, MLB Network analyst Billy Ripken will join us to break down not only the Dodgers and the National League West, but all of the National League and the Dodgers competition to hopefully their first World Series berth since 1988. Now, I mentioned Yasiel Puig and his spring, and I said this a year ago. I felt like Puig had to come out and have a good spring to get his confidence up. It didn't happen last year, and it really hasn't happened this spring either, for the exception of 2 home runs in a night game in the middle of spring. He only has 3 total, and in all, he hit .234 this spring with 11 strikeouts and 4 walks. Does that sound like a good spring to you? It doesn't to me. And being there for over a month, he's putting in the work. There's no doubt about it. He is trying. But I'm not sure if the adjustments are being made. It's one thing to continue to practice, but if you're practicing the same bad habits, what does that do? And I know the Dodger coaches have seen some sort of adjustments, but haven't seen it consistently. Now, my question to you is, if Puig gets off to a bad start in the regular season, how long do the Dodgers ride him out as their everyday right fielder? I say give him until the first or second week of May. The Dodgers have enough talent in this lineup to overcome a slumping Puig. But if it's not clicking from there, the Dodgers have to make a decision. And it can't be June or July. I really believe the Dodgers should make a decision on A, whether or not he's going to be a part of the team the entire summer, or B, whether or not he's going back to the role that he did pretty well at last year after he was sent down to the minor leagues, and that's a platoon player. And if they do that, how are they going to fit more guys on this 25-man roster? And also, too, everybody's clamoring for Trace Thompson. Well, you could look at Yasiel Puig for one of the obstacles in Trace's way. And me personally, I think Trace Thompson is a better baseball player than Yasiel Puig. Is the ceiling higher for Yasiel Puig? Sure it is. He's a freakish athlete. There's no doubt about it. But how long are the Dodgers going to wait for this potential to click in? And that's going to be a question that the Dodgers will have to ask themselves. And last year, I felt like they were in the same position as they are right now. How much has changed? I'm not going to base a spring training on whether or not Puig should be benched or not even make the roster. That's not the case. I think we should give him the opportunity to see whether or not he could produce up until May. If it's not May, then you got to go. Right, Petros? Right, Money? Yeah. How long do you give Puig? How long do you want to see Puig given an opportunity?
I'd hang in till July.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
July.
July? Are you kidding me?
I love him.
That's. I know everybody loves him. What do you love about him? His 263 average, his 11 home runs.
Size,
what do you love?
Speed, yo soy cubano, his story.
Hey, if Trace Thompson's playing left, let's get Tolsey out there and right, huh? 2 weeks.
Yeah, Money.
Two
weeks. I like
Some
that.
Would say, when you look at Puig's story, that it couldn't happen in Hollywood. But it did.
Great job with Doc Rivers, guys.
Thank you. It was pretty good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I love Doc Rivers.
Yeah,
great guy.
You,
he once gave Ben Maller a pair of shoes at a very nice dress store in Beverly Hills.
I don't know why you got to bring up Maller. We're the ones that had our day with Doc. Why
I'm
you
just saying, that's the type of guy he is.
What do you do? You interview a guy and talk about his first wife and not his second wife? What's the matter with you?
Where are you guys going? Hang out. We could chop it up a little bit, talk some shop.
Oh, you should have just seen Matt was talking to the GM of the whole Greg Ashlock, like everybody's boss. Matt's like, oh, I'm not in a hurry at all.
Oh, no, I got to go nowhere as I run out the door right now. How did you like that Sax analogy with that DeAndre Jordan question? Sax and Knobloch, Doc Rivers, baseball
fan. I thought
fan.
Sax did come back to play second base.
He did, but he had the yips.
Well, his dad died.
That's true. Who told you guys that story?
I know the sassy dancer.
I was going to mention Mark Wohlers. Did Mark Wohlers have that problem too? Did he like get? Did he like lose the catches?
Yeah. No, it was. He was Rocker or Wohlers.
Ankiel freaked out.
Yeah, Ankiel did too. Yeah, exactly right. Doc Rivers knows all that. Yeah. Great job, guys.
Matt and I will see you down at Morton's.
Okay, see you guys
there. We're
going
to make it a long night.
All right, good. I'll see you there at 8:01.
Do I get the obligatory, thanks for stopping by the show? Yeah, really made it good.
Thanks for coming with your fleece sweater. Appreciate it.
It's cashmere.
Oh, I apologize. And your fancy yoga t-shirt. Thanks for wearing dressing up for Doc
Spiritual
Rivers.
Gangster.
Bye, Money. Bye, Money. Good to see you.
Why does he get that chair with goodbye?
866-987-2570 is the phone number. Phone lines are lining up after Petros and Money stopped by.
I'm so confident on the air now.
That's right. Feeling it, guy. Feeling it. Let's go out to your favorite, Solomon in Lake Balboa.
Oh, Solly!
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. How you doing, Solomon? How long do the Dodgers give Yasiel Puig?
You nailed it, man. About a month. That is it. I have heard potential from this guy for so long, I can't stand it any longer. You've got to call it at some point, you know? Just really do.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Yasiel Puig and the love affair between him and the Dodger fans? It's kind of like you're at a basketball game and your team can't hit a shot and everybody's just waiting for a reason to cheer and erupt, and I feel that's the way Dodger fans are with Puig. And Puig, I like him. He's an emotional player. I like the emotion, but at some point, he can't just be handed a job year after year based on potential.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to hamstring your management and what they're going to do, and if they have to move them or how they move him, and you don't want to penalize your other players, which are playing better than him, but don't maybe have the pizzazz or the potential, quote unquote. You got to make that call. I would say a month. That's it.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Solomon. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to San Juan Capistrano. Brian, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. How long do the Dodgers give Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, I'd say probably not too long. I've always said, I don't know, I've never really been a huge fan of Puig. I think for me the biggest thing is he doesn't seem to have it together mentally, especially in like the big pressure situation. So, I don't know, that's kind of like the great Yogi Berra said, baseball is 90% mental. And the other half is physical, so that's what it does.
All right, Brian, thanks for the phone call. Yes, Yasiel Puig has not been a playoff performer. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We'll get to your phone calls again in just a moment, but joining us right now is the former Dodger GM, now currently Sportsnet LA's GM analyst, and Ned Colletti joins us. And Ned, I got to ask you, being in this position as Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi are in right now, with all this talent, how tough is the decisions they have to make in the next 24 to 48 hours?
Well, it's a tough decision making at this point in time. You've got I think three outfielders fighting for one spot. You got three infielders fighting for one spot. You got a few relievers. You got a starting pitcher. Almost everywhere you look on the field, there's competition, which is really good when you think about how good the team has been and really how the team came into spring training with very few questions that needed to be answered, in my opinion. Your decisions are tough this time of year, but they're only very tough when you have a player that is out of options that you're going to lose, or he's on a minor league contract and he has a chance to walk. As long as you can keep a player in the organization, your choices, you can make a choice a day. You can flip guys back and forth. So I think what they're going to see, because the competition is so close and the players are so worthy, but I think you'll see people who make the opening day roster and people who will be disappointed. But that doesn't mean that people who are disappointed aren't coming to the big leagues at some point in time. Opening day is a big day. It's a big thing to be on that roster. It's a notch on your belt, so to speak. But it's always fluid. I had one roster opening day. Some days I had made another move the next day. So I think there's a lot of different choices they're going to have to make. I think that they'll end up making the best choice for that particular day, that particular game. Sometimes you look at it that way. Unless you're going to lose a player on option, on outright waivers, unless you're going to lose that player, you have flexibility. It's a liquid situation, a fluid situation. And I think that they're going to manage their roster what is best for that particular day and place and time.
Ned, one player that's very happy to be on the roster, Dave Roberts announced that Hyunjin Ryu will be part of the starting five rotation on opening day. You signed Hyunjin Ryu. You saw how good he was, winning 14 games in 2013 and 2014. If he's anywhere close to that, how big of a boost is it to this Dodger rotation?
It's huge. When he was healthy, he was more than a number three starting pitcher. On some teams, he would have been a number two. You add him to this group, suddenly it's like making an off-season trade. He knows how to pitch. I've watched him pitch a few times this spring. His command has been great. I think he's walked one hitter in about, I don't know, a dozen innings or so, and he's pitched very well. I think that getting him back is a huge plus for this club. What I wonder about is I wonder how long he'll be able to go this year before the inactivity of a couple of years will start to take its toll. He has not pitched 200 innings. He has not pitched 150 innings or 100 innings. Once he starts going into that realm, and hopefully he gets to it, they'll have to, I believe, keep their eye on him and make sure that the effectiveness continues. Good stuff. You don't see many pitchers that go from zero to 200. There is a process and there's a progressive situation that players need to undertake. Nothing you can do about that. I think that they'll monitor him. I think getting him back is huge. I tip my cap to him and also to the medical department that continued to keep him on point. Because coming back from the injury he had is not easy. It's not easy to be able to really replicate who you were before, but he's getting really close to that. So not only has he done very well, medical and rehabilitation people have also done very well as the doctors that operated.
And I guess also, too, that plays into what Dave Roberts said yesterday as well, that Brandon McCarthy and Alex Wood will both be on the roster, but one of them will be in the bullpen. Which one do you think is better suited to come in relief?
Well, I think Alex Wood. I think he's got versatility. I don't think that McCarthy would be as effective out of the pen as he will as a starter. I think Alex Wood has that versatility. We saw him do it in Atlanta against the Dodgers, and we know that he's capable of doing it. So I think if that's what Dave Roberts said, I think that's how it'll shake out. I think McCarthy will be the fifth starter, and I think that that Alex Wood will make the club as a long man lefty out of the pen. And I think they'll have to keep him and his arm strength up at a high level, because he may be the first starter that comes in the event there's a need for your sixth starter right away. If it's not going to be Urias, it'll probably be Alex Wood.
Ned, before I let you go, the final days in Arizona, how much were you holding your breath that all your key players would come out of there healthy?
Oh, every day. Every day. Whenever I would see my phone light up and it was a trainer calling me, I didn't want to answer. How'd your spring go, people would say. It was in direct relation to how much I talked to the medical people. You know, my first opening day, we got to the ballpark, and Kenny Lofton and Nomar both ended up going on the DL the morning of my first opening day. So think about that. Our leadoff man, center fielder, and our first baseman who was sitting right in the middle of the lineup. But we got to Dodger Stadium. They're both banged up, both of them on the DL. That's how quick it can turn. So you don't want anybody getting hurt any time of the year, but certainly as you get out of camp, you're just holding your breath that everybody's okay, and you've done all your work. Guys have played. Guys got all their at-bats in, throwing all their innings. It's just time to now just ease itself into the regular season, because once the bell rings, it's on.
All right, Ned, can't wait for that bell to ring next Monday against the San Diego Padres. Thanks for checking in, and we'll be hearing a lot from you on Dodgers Radio after the games on Dodger Talk. Thanks a lot for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome, David. Thank you, Tom.
There he goes, my new partner on Dodger Talk. It will be Ned Colletti and Jerry Harrison Jr. on Dodger Talk with myself and Tim Cates during the 2017 season. Also, a broadcasting note. No, you know, I like notes. Kevin Kennedy's back this year. He'll be being part of the broadcast booth on radio. Rick Monday, Charlie Steiner, and Kevin Kennedy. And also, too, I read online that Kevin's going to be part of their alumni association that goes out and teaches kids baseball and reads books and all that stuff. So it's good to have him back in the fold in 2017. Let's go back out to the phones. Gardena, Abraham, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, Abraham?
Hey, Dave, how's it going, man?
It's going great. I'm ready for opening day, Abraham.
Oh, so am I. Hey, what did I hear just right now? No more Tony Gwynn, huh?
No, Tony was one and done with me, Abraham. He got a gig with his dad's team, the San Diego Padres.
Yeah. Well, you know, they love him over there, but...
Do you think it was me? Do you think that's the reason why he left?
It could have been, man. I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Abraham. Appreciate that.
But by the way, man, speaking of good base stealers like Tony Gwynn Sr., I was wondering who's going to be stealing bases for the Dodgers this year?
Well, that's a good question, Abraham. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Dodgers do not have great team speed. If I'm not mistaken, they were last in the National League in stolen bases last year. They don't really have too many fast guys. You got Adrian Gonzalez, who can only beat a radio guy in a race. Then you got Yasmani Grandal, who probably can only beat a radio guy in a race. Then you got Justin Turner, who could only probably beat a radio guy in a race. So, yeah, they don't have too many base stealers. I think the more important part is the Dodgers were very efficient on the bases as base runners outside of the stolen base category. The one thing I love that Dave Roberts did on day one of spring training last year was to really stress the importance of being smart base runners and taking the extra base, going first to third, reading the ball well if you're at second base to score on a base hit. So it's not necessarily about just stealing a base. It's being smart base runners, and I think the Dodgers were very good at that, and they were very aggressive, and Chris Woodward has shown he's a very aggressive third base coach. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. One more call before we take a break and say hello to Billy Ripken. Let's go out to Gardena again. Manuel, Dodger Talk, big in Gardena. What's up, Manuel?
This is for the real Dodger fans in L.A. D.B., feeling you?
Feeling you.
Rick is doing good, man. Hey, I think it was your combative nature with Tony Gwynn that made him go down the five. Nah, you know what? You know how it is, man.
Combative? But, you think I'm combative, Manuel?
With him, you used to. You used to always, don't try to act like you weren't, DV. You would sit there and play devil's advocate sometimes when I even knew you didn't even care. You just wanted to.
No. Wait a minute. Nothing is ever scripted with me. If I disagree, I really truly disagree. And Tony and I did not see eye to eye many times, but
I know that's why.
The best part though was that Tony and I after the show could still be friends. It's not like some of these guys where if you disagree on sports, they won't talk to you for a week. Tony and I would still be friends. Come on, Manuel. You're starting to overstep right now.
you guys had a good vibe and I wish Tony the best, but I'm glad to hear that, you know, you guys are going to have the Godfather on and Jay Hare, and then that Kevin Kennedy's back, man. That's good to hear, man. Like I said, I wish Tony Gwynn the best. I was hoping that he was back because I liked when you guys had your little back and forths, man. It was more real.
All right, Manuel. I appreciate it. Thanks for checking in, and we'll talk to you after the Freeway Series, first game in Anaheim, okay?
All righty.
Thank you for the love, as always, Manuel in Gardena. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll hear from Billy Ripken from the MLB Network. He joins us next on Nissan Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Bassett with you until 8 o'clock tonight. The Dodgers just a day away from returning back to California for the Freeway Series against the Angels. The first two nights will be in Anaheim. The final game of the exhibition part of Freeway Series will be on Saturday night. And then on Monday, it will be for real. The Dodgers opening day at Dodger Stadium. Clayton Kershaw on the mound against the San Diego Padres, who will throw out Julius Chacin. Joining us right now is a man that spent 12 years in the big leagues, had many opening days, and a guy now that it doesn't hold back on the MLB Network, and that's the one and only Billy Ripken. Bill, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
No problem. Sounds like the Dodgers have a little busy schedule even prior to opening day.
Yeah, no kidding. They don't even give them a day off anymore to go from Arizona to Anaheim to start that Freeway Series. I'm not sure when you were playing, when you guys came back from Florida with the Orioles or Tigers, did you guys have to play in a big league stadium before opening day?
We did a couple times, and that was a long, long time ago, my last year being 1998, but I do remember playing in RFK, because that was right before the Nationals came back into town, and D.C. was trying to stir some interest up in baseball and things like that. But broke in Camden Yards, played a few exhibition games like that. I think it's nice to get back into your home ballpark and at least be able to do a couple things before it's go time.
Bill, when you look at the Dodgers, and I love what you guys do on the MLB Network leading up to opening day as far as the 30 clubs for 30 nights, you've done a lot of homework on all the teams in the National League. Do you feel like the Dodgers and Cubs are head and shoulders above everybody else?
You know, I think the National League has a little bit clearer of a picture overall than the American League teams do when it comes to this. And what the Dodgers have been able to do, you win three titles in a row, that seems to be, I'm talking NL West titles in a row, that seems to get overlooked a little bit nationally, I believe. That, you know, a lot has said, you know, okay, the postseason frustrations and what has gone on a couple years ago, or a couple years, you look at the Cardinals seemed to have the Dodgers numbers, and it didn't work out for him last year again. But to be able to go through the NL West and be able to be atop of San Fran for 3 years in a row winning that, it puts them in pretty good company. I still would have to probably look at the Cubs as being odds-on favorite, what they were able to do, and it doesn't look like they're in any way, shape, or form ready to slow down. But the Dodgers are a very, very good club, and a lot's going to rely on, you know, your guy Clayton Kershaw. I think Superman, when we refer to him, head and shoulders, the best pitcher in the game of baseball. But you do have some question marks after him with basically everybody else in that rotation. Now, if everything works right, I think the Dodgers could easily be looked at as the odds-on favorite out of the West. I'm not so sure I want to put them up quite as high as the Cubbies, though.
When you look at their rotation compared to the Cubs and maybe even to the Mets, how do you think 1 through 5 the Dodgers stack up with Rich Hill being with the team for a full year?
Well, I think what you're looking at is the question marks that I talked about. And I'm not saying they're the worst things in the world, but they are question marks. Kenta Maeda, I think, is a solid guy coming up behind Kershaw. Hill's not going out there and throwing 30 starts. And I think that's something that has to be there. Ryu hasn't pitched in a while. McCarthy's had his time on the shelf. Kazmir is on the shelf. So you're looking at guys that need to be able to go out there and pitch. I don't think the Dodgers' success of last year with using the bullpen as much as Dave had to use that bullpen is going to be the right recipe for success again. So I think Kershaw's 200-plus inning. I think Kenta Maeda will be. But your question marks run your 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys to be there. I think the Mets are very similar. I think the Mets, if all of their guys are right, and I'm talking, you know, Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Mats. And Mats is sidelined a little bit. I said probably 2 weeks ago that the New York Mets need 100-plus starts out of those guys, which are 25-plus each one. And if that happens, the Mets could probably rival anybody in baseball with that pitching staff. But the big question is, are those guys going to be able to go out there and stay healthy to give those starts and those innings to the Mets?
Bill Ripken is our guest. You can watch Billy Ripken on MLB Tonight throughout the season. Plus, MLB Network will have 15 straight hours of live opening day coverage beginning Monday at 6 a.m. So if you're a baseball fan, there's only one place to tune in on opening day on every night, and that's MLB Network. Billy, when you look from the East Coast out West and you see a kid like Corey Seager burst onto the scene and handle Los Angeles the way he did, is the sky the limit for him? What do you see in store for Corey Seager, not only this year, but in his future? I've heard guys compare him to A-Rod. What do you feel like when you see Corey Seager?
Well, I could be the president of the Corey Seager fan club. I said after his call-up a couple years back, and then he goes into the postseason, and oh, by the way, for a good club, you're going to hit third and play short every day in the postseason. I preseason picked him to be my MVP and Rookie of the Year. I got one of them right. I was pretty close on the other one. When I see him play, I would actually lean probably a little bit more towards my brother's side of the street than Alex Rodriguez. I think Correa probably fits the mold of Alex Rodriguez, but Corey Seager doesn't do anything to make the highlight reels. He's a big kid, which is probably similar size to my brother when he came in and started playing the shortstop position. But it just seems like he does the right thing. It looks like he's in control 100% of the time. And I think that right there, as far as his mannerisms are concerned, reminds me of my brother. The fact that he stands in the home plate, I remember that 3-homer day that he did.
Yeah.
He hit 3 different pitches, all similar location on those pitches, but the speed of the pitch and the type of the pitch dictate where he hit the ball, one to right center, one to more to dead center, and one to left field off the left-hander. So I did a breakdown tape on that, and what that proved to me is his approach is so sound, and he's not trying to do anything extra special at home plate. He's just letting his ability take over and let the pitcher's selection of pitch and the speed of the pitch actually determine which way the ball goes. The man's big and strong, and obviously he can leave the ballpark at any angle. so he doesn't have to try to do anything extra special. His special talent is enough that he has naturally.
I want to touch on what you just mentioned as far as defense for him at shortstop. There was so much talk that the Dodgers eventually in the first few years of his career will have to move him to third base. That obviously is not going to happen with Justin Turner being locked up. What do you see from him defensively?
I don't understand why, because a kid might be big, why that automatically is talked about. And it seems to be automatically talked about. I think his positioning, his wherewithal in the field, the arm strength, everything he has, to me, is capable of playing shortstop for a long time. In yesteryear, when I think the shortstop was always the smaller guy, and then I think when my brother broke into the big leagues, A-Rod came into the mix, then Jeter came into the mix, and they were the bigger type guys that were playing the position. You don't have to be 5'10" to play the position. I'm not saying a 5'10" guy can't play the position, because obviously they can, but I think it goes back to just saying that baseball, there is no one set rule that this has to happen when you're that. Let the kid play. Obviously he can play shortstop every single day at the big league level, so there's no reason to even have conversation about the day. One day he might have to move. I'm not buying into that. Play over there until you can't play anymore.
Billy, going back to his swing now, you talked about breaking down that 3-home-run day, being around him every day, and especially in spring training, he seems to be obsessed with the mechanics of his swing. Can a player, especially a young player, do too much with the swing? Do you think too many swings in the cage can hurt a player? Obviously, Corey's on another level, but are you surprised to hear how obsessed he is about his swing?
Yeah, and I'm not there, you know, watching him go. But what I do have the capability of doing is we flash into the ballpark cams every now and then if I have an idea of doing some sort of breakdown any given day. I'll say, hey, let's watch his batting practice and watch what he does on the field. Now, obviously, we don't have cameras down in the cages and things like that. But him taking batting practice reminds me a little bit of, now he's hitting from the left side, but I've done certain things on Miguel Cabrera. Their approach during BP on the field seems to be ones that are very similar. They don't try to do too much. They just put the ball in play. And probably, in my estimation, Corey Seager probably doesn't put on the biggest home run display during any batting practice during the year, because he's working on things. He's letting the ball travel. He's going through his routine to get his mind right for the game. And then once the game starts, the speed of the pitch and the adrenaline takes over. So, to me, I've watched him take BP a couple times on the field. Like I said, that's not all 162, but we'll peek in on him every now and then taking batting practice from our ballpark cams, and I just watch this nice, controlled approach that he has at home plate, and that's what reminds me about Miguel Cabrera's batting practice.
Now, that's impressive, and that's a great comparison if you're Corey Seager. Billy Ripken is our guest from MLB Network. You could watch Billy throughout the season on MLB Tonight. MLB Network will have 15 straight hours of live opening day coverage. How are you going to be there for all 15 hours on Monday, Billy?
No. I do like the fact that we are 15 hours, and you said starting at 6 a.m. I'm on the 5 to 8 shift, which I think is a really good shift, simply because a lot of the East Coast games that started at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon are going to be over. And as you said, if we got 15 hours of coverage going on opening day, you might as well tune in.
Yeah, that's the best place to tune in if you're a huge baseball fan like we all are that's listening right now. And, Billy, before I let you go, let's talk about the rest of the National League. And you see a lot of the Central and the East. Are you convinced after what you told us about the Mets starters and what they need to do to have a successful season? Are you sold on the Washington Nationals repeating as NL East champions?
I'm not sold. I think they're certainly capable of doing it. I think that, you know, we've been talking about your young shortstop and Seager. I think there's a young shortstop that everybody's watching out here on the East Coast and Trey Turner. Two different type guys. But certainly, once again, it says there's no model, you know, for one thing or another. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. But the Nationals have their fair share of question marks, too. Can Strasburg go out there and give you a full year? I believe that Scherzer will. I know he had a little bit of issue with his finger, but that seems to be going okay with them. So they have a 1-2 punch as good as anybody in the game. Don't think there's any doubt about that. But they're also going to have some sort of question marks. Is Tanner Roark going to have another good year like he did before? What are you going to get out of Gio on the bump? I love their offensive look about the squad. Bryce Harper looks like he's on a mission. I know it's just spring training, but he looks the part right now. So if you get him back to his MVP-type form, you got something really special there. I still do believe, though, if the Mets, if all the questions were answered about the Mets starting pitchers, and if you can tell me that four of those guys might give you 120 starts, 30 each, then I say the Mets win it because I think that pitching just outlasts everybody.
Billy, I wanted to get your opinion on Bryce Harper because obviously everybody loves his personality and the way he could market the game of baseball and transcend the game of baseball. But when you look at his career, and especially last year, it was a down year for him. Do you feel like he has something to prove? And should he be anointed the great player that everybody seems to want to give him after 2015?
Yeah, I don't know if it's fair. And look, I think there are certain players that come up to the big leagues with way too much hype, you know, completely surrounding them. And Bryce Harper was on, the cover of Sports Illustrated 16, I think, when he was hitting in a home run derby in the Tropicana Field, Tampa Bay Stadium, hitting the back wall with stuff. So I think a lot of that stuff is unfair put on any player. Let's go back to his MVP campaign. I don't think that there's anybody out there, I think including Mike Trout, that threw stuff up there like he did in his MVP run. But to use Mike Trout again, this guy is the same age and has done it, four straight years where he's been the MVP and finished second three times or whatever the story may be.
Yeah.
That's truly one of the most consistent and best players this game has to offer. And I think the little bits of inconsistency that we've seen out of Bryce Harper, no, you can't put him up in the category of one Mike Trout at this point in time. But that's not to say if Harper goes out there on his mission this year, the way he looks in spring training, and throws a monster year up and then does it again, then he's every bit in the conversation of the best player in the game of baseball.
Billy Ripken from MLB Network has been our guest. Billy, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with the fans. One reason why I love watching you on MLB Network is because I never feel like you're sugarcoating anything. You're shooting straight, and that's why you're one of the best out there. Thanks so much for your time and appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your time, and good luck to your Dodgers this year.
All right. Yeah, Billy Ripken, thank you for the good luck wishes to the Dodgers. We appreciate it. And maybe next time. Next time I will ask him about that 1988 Fleer card that he had with that bat. Thanks to Billy Ripken. Thanks to Ned Coletti for joining us tonight. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help. And thank you for listening. If you missed any of the show or any of the interviews, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. The next Dodger Talk will be after the first Freeway Series game in Anaheim on Thursday night. First pitch is at 7:10. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 6 o'clock. So until then, have a great night, everybody. See ya.